Greetings, everyone. A warm welcome to another edition of Marketing the Invisible. I'm Tom Poland, as ever, beaming up to you from the Sunshine Coast here in Australia, joined today by Laurie Barkman. Laurie, warm g'day from down under. Where are you hanging out?
I'm in the United States. I'm in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh. Lots of industry there, right?
Eds and meds these days. Most well known in the history books from steel.
Right. Pittsburgh Steel. Excellent. All right. And I guess the local football team are the Steelers. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Imagine my surprise.
Revered around the world.
Of course they are. Yeah, see, I knew the name of them, and I'm in Noosa in Australia. Folks, Laurie is she is the business transition Sherpa. So she worked with owners from transition to transaction as a business growth and emergent acquisition author. So whether you one day think you want to sell your business for a lot more than you might be able to sell it for today, or whether you want to keep it as a cash cow, essentially you have to do the same things, which is get your business ready for sale. You know, get the people in place, get the processes in place, get the profits happening. So this will be interesting to you, whether you have an idea of succession planning for your business or whether you want to just get it ready. She's the author of Business Transition Handbook, and she's the host of Succession Stories podcast. So Laurie, pleasure to have you on the show. Our title today is How to Make Your Business More Valuable. Our time's going to start now. Question number one is, who's your ideal client?
Business owners in the United States who are contemplating ownership succession within the next 5 to 7 years, transaction standpoint. But learners can be from anywhere around the world.
And what's the problem you solve for them? What's the transformation? What's the before and after look like for these clients?
100% of owners are going to leave one day, but very few are prepared. I deliver a process and ultimately clarity on these big decisions. So when time's on your side, you can avoid succession pitfalls and create more valuable exit options.
Everyone's going to leave their business, whether it's feet first, whether it's a check in your hand, you're going to be exiting. So tell us about, question three is what are the symptoms of someone who needs your help? What's going on in their business, in their life, in their mind? How do people get a heads up and go, okay, I need to listen to this. I need to find out more about what Laurie does. What's going on for them?
Well, you said a key thing there, Tom, which is it's in their head. They're not talking about it. It's a very lonely space, and there's a lot of weight on their shoulders. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, right? And they don't know what to do. They don't know what steps to take. They don't know who to work with. Papers sit on desks and get coffee stains on them. Sometimes owners pass away, and the family's left to pick up the pieces, and it can result in doors closing and people losing their jobs.
I mean, it actually creates, by failing to address this, it's just occurred to me, but by failing to address the issue of succession and by failing to get the business ready to sell, whether they sell or not, they're actually creating a problem for people they love. Because I suppose that that's the sort of altruistic motivation is, let me get this thing ready to sell so I can, it's much more profitable and sells for a more valuable company. But also let me do that so that the people that I love and care about unduly stressed or anxious. Tell me.
Yeah, you're in mourning and you have to deal with your business that you know nothing about. It's a very difficult situation to be in.
Yeah, and even more so if they have a partner in the business whose husband or wife might want to have a say in how it's run now. Oh, wow. Such fun. We're talking about businesses that are generally assertive about growth. So they're going to be trying stuff. What would you say? Question four is, what would you say some of the common mistakes that business owners make when they're preparing for succession, other than a complete failure to give it some attention?
Yeah, well, that is the number one thing, though. You know, they just keep pushing it to the back burner. It's the classic important, not urgent thing to do until it is urgent. Like we said in some earlier examples, your partner died, you got a divorce, maybe you're sick, there's some catalyst for change. But if you're proactive about it, you can really see the benefits of it and we're running a better business. Thing I always say with my clients is you can't do exit planning when you're exiting. It's just too late. The other thing is the common mistake is that, at least in the United States, some statistics might be shocking to know that 2 out of every 10 companies in the lower middle market that have an intention to sell don't, because there's too much. A big reason is because there's too much of a gap between the price of what the buyer wants and the seller wants.
Right.
And without that time to make an impact on the value of your business, you're sort of left holding the bag and going unrewarded for all your hard work. And the other thing is a common mistake is many owners don't know the owner's metric. the number one thing they should be following in the KPI or key performance indicator is the value of their business. But a 90% or more business owners have no idea what their company is worth. And so when they run out of time, they run out of options.
Right. You know, selling a business is analogous to selling a house. So what we tend to do is when we sell a house, to get it ready, we fix everything up and we get it really fantastic and immaculate. And then we sit there and go, gee, I wish I'd done that a few years ago. I could have been enjoying this. And selling a business is kind of similar, I think. If you can have it so it's ready to sell every day, you get to enjoy the business a whole lot more. So let's flip this. 2.5 minutes left. What would you say is a top tip that you could give someone who has procrastinated on succession planning and exit planning? It's not going to solve the whole problem for them, but it might get them started in the right direction.
I think the number one thing, Tom, is to set an intention. You know, set an intention for your end game. People get really angsty when we talk about retirement or selling or exit. It's like it's almost a taboo topic, but don't make it so. Set an intention for your end game. Even if it's 5, 7, 10 years away, think forward to be able to look backward. And in my book, my favorite chapter is chapter 6, who should own your company after you?
Oh, nice.
And there's a lot of factors that go into that. So when you let yourself sort of travel forward and just think about that one question, who should own your company after you?
Great top tip. And it can also be very inspirational motivation to help you to get the energy you need to actually get the thing ready to sell. Question 6, valuable free resource. Where can people find out more about your services and more about this concept of succession?
Well, I've written a whole book about it, you know, how to have a succession that avoids pitfalls and how to create more value over time. And people can get a free PDF of my book by going to thebusinesstransitionhandbook.com.
Perfect. www.thebusinesstransitionhandbook.com. Link under the video if you're listening on iTunes or something like that. It's thebusinesstransitionhandbook.com. Lori, thanks for that. Last question, 50 seconds left. What's the one question I should have asked you but didn't?
Well, a lot of people want to know, how do I get started in being a mergers and acquisitions advisor, business transition advisor, all this crazy stuff? And the short story is that I went through a transaction with a privately held company, third generation. I was hired in from the outside and it was a very, very successful exit. My tenure at the new parent company was a little shorter lived than I'd like. So I've got some battle scars from the process, but net-net, it was very positive. And I have high empathy for owners that are going through this because I know there's a practical transactional side to all of this. It's about money, it's about this and that. But you know what? We're people and there's emotions. And right. I kind of have this IQ and EQ that I bring to the engagement. Right. So that's how I got started with it.
Lori Barkman, thank you so much for your time and your insights.
Thanks for checking out our Marketing the Invisible podcast. If you like what we're doing here, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate us, and leave us a review. It's very much appreciated. And if you want to generate 5 fresh leads in just 5 hours, then check out www.5hourchallenge.com.